and you take all of them different pieces and you put them in, but when it blends it all together and then it spits it all out, then it's edible. Then I can eat it, right? So that's kind of where my brain is right now. There's just not that I didn't like this stuff, obviously. I'm not saying any of that. So right? I didn't mean it that way. So it's, well, I don't know what God's got for us this morning. I've got stuff down. We'll see where he's got to go. I told Roger that the verse that in John that we covered a few months ago or whenever it was, that when we were covering the Holy Spirit, and he says, I'll send the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. So there's a lot of things said this weekend. So we'll see what gets blended up and spit out here this morning. So if you want to, just we'll take a moment of silent prayer just to examine the state of your soul. If there's anything that's standing in the way of you and the throne of the grace, now's the time. Taught us, 1 John 1:9 tells us that he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all of that unrighteousness. Anything that is standing in the way between you and a holy, perfect God, now is the time that we can, we are able to have fellowship with him, communion and union with the creator of the universe. That veil, as the song said, the veil was torn, allowing us to have that passage and that light to have access and a relationship with God. So utilize it. If there's anything that you just need to squish, push it away, repent it, which just means confess it, turn it away, turn the other direction, focus on what God has for you this morning, and we'll wrap things up. Father, we again just come before you with thankful hearts that you've allowed us to come freely this morning in a country that is able to do this. We've got friends all over this world that there's places they cannot go to do this as freely as they choose. They have persecution. They have big things looking at them when they just speak your name or try to represent who you are, yet they do it anyway. So we continue to lift those up. We continue to pray for India as they're dealing with flood, and you're just providing means necessary for your hands to be outstretched through all of that to help pick up the pieces and help support and lift others up and encourage them. We want to pray for our country as we come into November with so many doubts and so many fears in our mind that we get stuck in. But those are all just worldly perspectives, that we know that you are in control and you hold all things together. So allow us as we start seeing all the things, we hear all the things, we start having all this voting stuff come into our minds and all the advertisements for it, that we don't get distracted. The enemy wants to distract us, wants us to pull away from you. So I just pray that as we come about this November, that you just can hear us cry out as a nation, that we confess the sins of our nation that they've done so blatantly against you, and that you hear us and you just remember our cry to you come November. You just continue to expose evil in this nation, that you just deal with it as you see fit and allow us to play whatever part it is that you need us to play with just obedient hands and whatever comes forth. Again, this morning, I just pray that you allow me just to be your vessel, that I just pour out your words, your truth, that it is nothing of value that I have to say for anybody that's here, but it can be your words and your truth, just to encourage, to lift up, and build us up. So we thank you. In your son's name we pray. Amen. Am I hearing a bird, or what is it? Is it a bird? Okay. Huh? So pray that distraction, we'll just start talking and maybe they'll go away. So I didn't know if I'm like totally losing it. I see birds sometimes, but I've never heard birds before. I don't know if that's the case. So we're going to, last week we introduced, for those of you that are joining us this weekend, we introduced the book of Galatians. We did a background on Galatians and thought maybe that it would just continue today to see the direction with the whole fellowship weekend of the thing that was going on. And there's some parts that, yes, I will kind of pull together. So we'll be in Galatians if you want to just open up to the book of Galatians, and we'll start there. And the whole weekend we talked about the point of fellowship is to pursue, to edify, encourage the building up of spiritual relationships is kind of our thought process behind why did we want to look at fellowship this weekend. And we said Friday night that is so many of us walk through our days walk through our life, whether it be home, whether it be work, whether it just be whatever relationship or whatever life we're living, and we need build up and we need encouragement, because all people want to do anymore is tear people down. All they want to do is try to build them up. And normally how people build themselves up is it requires them to tear somebody down. And usually we're the byproducts of that. Either getting torn down or have to deal with a situation like that. And sometimes, honestly, then we're the ones that are tearing people down too. Don't say that we're perfect and we don't ever do that, because that's, we're all guilty of that. So the fellowship, to try to look at this, to say, how can we bring this aspect into Norway, Iowa, into our local church, from so many different aspects and opinions and thoughts and principles and values of these men that have come shared us the things that God has laid on their hearts this weekend, is that we all need to get real with ourselves. We need to look at the root of our problems, the root of our issues. We need to be able to truly examine who we are, what's in our soul, what's in our hearts, what's in our minds. Where is it that we talked somewhat about comfort zone, and I'll touch some on comfort zones. But what is it that is our comfort zone? Where is it that we like to hang out? Where is it like that we like to go be safe, be comfortable, be okay? Where do we just shut off and hide from everything, hide from reality? And the world teaches us to isolate, to, I'll even throw medicate in there, medicate and isolate. That's what the world likes to do to us. And that is something that as a church, as we've learned about fellowship and unity with one another, all that is something that the Church of Jesus Christ is not meant to do. The body as a whole, we are not meant to be alone. We're not meant to be isolated. We're not meant to do this walk that we do in life, that we go to work, that we go to our jobs, whatever relationship, our home life, whatever it may be. We're not made to do that alone. That takes people. That takes one another. Because the enemy, when we get alone and when we start deviating from people and we go hide ourselves away, that is when we fall prey to the enemy, because we're such an easy target, because we're all by ourselves. It's like a sheep. You use that example of a sheep. If one gets lost, how much easier is it for that one to disappear when the whole herd's not with it, or the shepherd's not there protecting it? We're no different. If we get away from our flock of people and we go get isolated from what God says is truth and his standards, values, and principles, we all of a sudden fall very easily prey to the world that's around us. And that is the darkness. And that is what we've been talking about all week, the darkness and the light. How do we participate in the light? How do we not get trapped in this darkness? How do we not get bogged down by this darkness? How do we not get led and trapped to go play in this darkness, like sometimes our mind wants us to do? As how do we continue to stay in this light and be in this light? And that takes the encouragement and the edifying and the building up of one another. When I fail, I require you guys to step up and help me. It's your job as a church. It's your job as a body. We're supposed to have each other's back. That is what fellowship is to me, to be able to look at it and say, why is this important? Because when we get together and we truly know each other, we then can be effective battle buddies with each other. If Mac was doing all this stuff that he did, if he didn't have anybody that he trusted, he did not have anybody that he couldn't do his job because he was worried about the other guy not doing his job correctly. You and I's Christian walk is no different than that. If I want to be able to walk in the light, to do this, as we know is right and possible to do, it takes others around us to help build us up and encourage us in that, to be able to keep us on that path of righteousness, to be able to do that. That's what we're here for. That's what these guys have traveled all over this country to do, is to be able to say, hey, I'm going to be a good witness of Jesus. I'm going to represent Jesus to you this weekend. And by doing that, I'm hoping to build it up, because, sorry, some of us are fake. Some of us say we're okay. Some of us say everything's fine. Some of us put on our smile. Some of us walk through the door, and whenever somebody says, hey, how you doing? Hey, I'm good. Everything's good. How about you? Good. Small talk. We go sit down, and everybody just, that's not church. That's not fellowship. That's not the body. That's not the brethren that somebody talked about this week. Sisters is what in Christ is what the word brethren means. That's not what we're supposed to be. But that's so often what we are, because that is our comfort zone. We don't want anybody to see our failures, our doubts, our fears, our ugly side. We don't want anybody to see that stuff, so we put a mask on and everything's okay. Well, then all we do is we isolate ourselves. And then by that isolation, the enemy says, easy target, I'm going to take you, and I'm just going to take all of that joy away from you that Joel just talked about, all of that joy. I'm going to take all that stuff away from you, and I'm going to trash it. And you're not going to get to experience who Jesus is. So without fellowship, we'll never get to experience the true reality of who Jesus is and what we're supposed to do in our walk through our joy, our peace, and the comfort that he can bring. We need other people to be able to do it. So then it's like, okay, we need to look at that and say, how do we become real? How do we really say that, am I okay with somebody really knowing my fears and my lies I tell myself? And can I be honest with somebody? I don't want to, because we don't want them to think that we're somebody that we don't come out and say. Right? That's what we are. We hide it. I don't want somebody to really know who I am or what I go through. So we become selfish in a way, in a sense, to our own comfort. To just say, leave me alone, I'll be fine. But when we do that, we will not experience the life that Jesus promises, the life abundant that he tells us we have. The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy, and I come to give you life abundantly. So if I don't have that abundant life because I trap myself out of everybody, out of this fellowship, and put myself in my own shell, the life that Jesus promised me is being robbed away. It's stolen from me. But it's, in reality, it's my choice. I'm the one that gave it away. It's hard to steal something if I just hand it to somebody. But that's what we do. We choose to give our joy away. We choose to give our comforts away. We choose to give our happiness away. We choose to give our stuff away because we don't want to be uncomfortable. We think the world offers us comfort. God doesn't have anything for us. That's going to be uncomfortable. So then we stick in the world, when all reality, all that is a huge lie. It's masked off and it says the truth. Here's not. So we need to be able to identify what is false if we want to know what is true. So if we say that I want to walk in the light, I don't want no part of this darkness, I need to be able to know what is light so I can identify the darkness so I'm not channeled towards the darkness, right? We need to know the difference between light and darkness. Sometimes that's hard to do when we're by ourselves. That's why we need all of each other. That's fellowship. That's encouragement. That's edifying. That's building up. And it's not that point so I can't look at Mac and I can't start gossiping about Mac and telling all his goofiness and all this stuff just to make me feel better than him. I mean, it's true, but it's not to put me in a better position than him. That's not what it's for. So we have to have our pure heart that it talks about in Matthew chapter 5 verse 8. That we have to have our pure heart, our pure motives, to be able to say, what is it that I am truly seeking out? Because with us, we don't understand relationships because people fail us. We don't understand relationships. So I look at it and say, why am I going to be honest with Mac? Because the last time I was honest with Doug turned around and gossiped and lied to me and told all these people all my problems when I was just seeking out to Doug for help. So why is Mac any different? Because people lie. People are the same. Everybody lies. Everybody has issues. Our relationships, our human relationships, do not match that relationship of God, but we tend to put them in the same box. And we tend to say, God, you're no different than my relationship with Doug and Mac, which obviously is completely false. God is completely different in all those ways. If we can have those pure hearts, those pure motives, to be able to look at that and say, yes, Mac, you are a child of God. Yes, you do have the same Spirit of God that I have. It doesn't matter what part of the nation, what part of this world, wherever we're at, we all have the same Spirit of God with us. So why are we not trying to be in unity when the Spirit desires to be in unity? Because it's the same Spirit. It's not any different. So obviously the Spirit of God desires to be together with the Spirit of God because it's the same. There's no difference in it. So the fellowship side of things is building all of this up. To be able to say, you are not alone. And he said, I know I'm not alone. God tells me I'm not alone. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Correct. Have you ever thought that he never leaves you and forsake you because he has a Spirit in somebody else next to you? To be able to allow them to work in your life. to be able to bring that encouragement. Well, God, you don't answer my prayers. Well, God says, no, but my spirit's right here in this person that answered your prayer. But then I say, no, that's not that person. That's not God. God, I want you to verbally speak to me. God says, no, here's somebody that I'm having do it for me. So this fellowship that we forsake so often because we don't want to be uncomfortable, because we don't like to share with people, we try to be too busy in this life. That's the big thing. Too busy. I got this, 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 and this. And this, 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 and this could be good things. Good things. The enemy can use good things to pull us away from the things of God. Why wouldn't he? That's warfare 101. Distract them. Make them see something that it ain't. Make them enjoy it so they don't want to leave it. So we're in a spiritual battle. That is something that is 100% real, that will change our outlook on life if we wake up in the morning and we realize, when I get up, you don't have to get up because your spiritual battle is in your head. So much of it is. When you gain consciousness in the morning, you have to make the choice to say, am I going to participate in this battle today, or am I going to be taken captive in this battle today? That's the choice that we have to make. I can't make it for you. You can't make it for me. But with one another, we can help encourage and build up that to say, hey, stay in the fight. I know you're hurting. I know this is going on in your life right now. I know you're really wanting to run off and live this type of a lifestyle right now. I know that this is really your focus right now. But I'm telling you to wake up a little bit. Be excited to see what you guys got for Kansas. It might be in tune of something in that line of that. To say, wake up. It's time. Time is short. No matter if Jesus to come back, we're all getting older by every second that we live. Time is getting shorter every day. Why are we not awake? Why do we not want to fellowship with one another? Why do we not want to encourage and build one another up? Because the world tells us to worry about yourself, control your own world, don't care about anybody else, screw anybody else over. Whatever it takes for you to get to the top, that's what you need to do. That is why you're on this earth. That's what you're meant to do. Make as much money as you can. Do all this stuff. Build your legacy. Build your kingdom here on earth. That's what I want you to do, says the world. If I do that, all of you are screwed. If you do that, I am screwed. Because you don't care about me. Because you're okay with the state of my soul suffering. That's a huge concept. When I finally realized that Hallie's priority, the state of her soul, has to be part of my priority in our marriage, to how she walks before the Lord, what do I throw at her to make her stumble and fall? That changes your perspective on your marriage. To say, her soul is part of my responsibility too, because what am I? Can I be the Holy Spirit for her? Absolutely not. But can I be a stumbling block for her? Absolutely yes. Can I be a stumbling block for all of the people around me? Absolutely yes. Can they be a stumbling block for me? Absolutely yes. So this whole thing of fellowship, this whole motive of being with one another as a body, encouraging, building up one another, is far deeper than just coming to hang out on a weekend and spending a whole bunch of money to travel halfway across the country. It's far deeper than that. Because we're playing with each other's souls that is going to have a direct effect for all of eternity. It's like big. What we've taken from this weekend has affected eternity. What you take in today will affect eternity, depending on what you do with it. You can say, well, I can't take a U-Haul with me. I can't take all my stuff with me when I die and I go to heaven. It's just tangible stuff, right? We can't take anything. But yes, we can. What do we know about Jesus? What do we know about the Word of God? Do we know who He is? When we stand before Him and Jesus introduces us before His Father and the angels, what will He say? That I say that all the time because that's my gut check. To being like, what's He going to say about me? I gave you every opportunity to learn about me, to know about me, to do all this, to put this information in here to understand how to live your life in that abundant fashion because you're my child and I love you. It's no different than my little kids. I love them. I want to spoil the crap out of them. I do. They're my kids. Why wouldn't I? God wants to do that for you. He wants to do that for us, but he does it in different ways than what we look as spoiling. He looks at it and says, I'm going to give you the opportunity for this thing called eternal life. So you get to be with me forever. You get to be with each other forever. These relationships that during this fellowship opportunity that we were given here on this earth, all it's going to do is grow for all of eternity. How cool is that? You say, well, I don't have to go back to where you're going from. I don't get enough time to, you know, to spend time with you and talk to you all and do all this stuff. Okay, keep looking forward to it because we got all eternity to grow these relationships. That's the type of relationships we're going to get with Jesus too. The more I know you here on earth, the more I get to know you in eternity. The more I know Jesus on earth, the more I get to know Jesus in eternity. He's given us all of the opportunities to be able to do that. And that's the fellowship of saying, pick it up, encourage one another. This world does not have anything to do with encouragement. Why turn the news on and everything is World War III? Just doom, doom and gloom. Everything just sucks. It's going to hell in a handbasket. Everything's just terrible. We got no good news. There's this. All they tell you about is the evil. Right? Their world doesn't want to encourage you. They don't want you to be built up. Because the enemy knows if you're built up and you're encouraged and you can take somebody else and encourage them, what ripple effect, what pressure does that do to the enemy? That says, well, now I'm not effective anymore. The enemy wants to be effective because they want you to stumble around in darkness all of your life. They don't want you to succeed. They don't want any part of you doing good. They don't want anybody to see Jesus through you. So if I can keep you in the dark, you can't see Jesus through the dark. So the enemy says, I'm going to push you in there, and I'm going to keep you in there. And then we go back to the book of Matthew where he talks about the binding the strong man in the house. He did it. I already bound him. So I can go in and I can plunder his house because you were once slaves. So, but I can come in, I've bound him, he's tied up and he's in the corner, you are free to walk out. I'm not going to pick you up and carry you, but you're free. Here's the door. Go ahead, walk out. It's your choice. Except that I was good enough to tie that man up in the corner to allow you to walk in freedom. That's called salvation. That's what he did. He had a choice then to say, no, I'm going to choose to live in this dark, ugly house by that guy that's tied up in the corner to control me, even though he has no power over me. Because he's tied up in the corner. I'm going to choose to stay there, waste my whole life, and I'm going to live in darkness. Or I might venture out, accept the offer that you gave me to walk through that door, and I can walk in light. But then, I say my comfort zone. I really liked my bed in that house back there. My pillow was really nice. So then I'm going to go backwards. And I'm going to go back into that house because it's my comfort. I choose to walk back into sin, back into that dark lifestyle, back into that lifestyle of no abundance. I have no abundance when I'm trapped in a house of slavery. There's only so much I can do, and that's slavery. You're not free to do what you want to do. I walk through that door of salvation. I have freedom to be able to do what I want to do through the power of Jesus that took care of the God, the bad guy, the sin, the problem of death. It's all trapped up in that house. So in Galatians, my batteries. I thought maybe that was what was squeaking, but no. Who he is and the power that he has, aligning himself with an apostle, but he says, I'm not sent from men, nor through the agency of man, but through Jesus Christ and the God, and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren who are with me. So here we have all the brothers and sisters supporting Paul in this. Paul is aligning himself with these men, these apostles, for the validity, the truth in his message. So he's making a point to say, no, I am this. You don't think I am this man, that I am able to speak this truth, that I am able to convey this message, that I am able to speak this way, but I can. Because of God. Because of the truth that Jesus Christ said in his message. Are we not the same? Do you feel worthy to speak the message of truth, the gospel message, to the people around you? Because our doubt and our fear tells us, no, I'm not. I can't say that. That's why our fellowship issue so often goes bad. Because who am I to say anything? Who am I to encourage? Who am I to build you up? Humanly, I am nobody. Because I have just as many ugly issues as you all do. But I've also lived through a lot of ugly experiences like you all have. We learn from one another. So Paul's saying that he aligns himself with these. Apostle was one sent on a mission. This is the definition. One sent on a mission. One commissioned by another to represent him in some way. Well, does that sound familiar? It does, right? Because what are we told to do? Go into all the world, preach the gospel to all of creation. That's what we're told to do. So we're no different. We have this message that we are meant to take out. What is the gospel? What is it that we are supposed to bring to people? Truth. Salvation is truth, but there's also much more with that. Yes, the gospel message of salvation, Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, the blood that he shed wiped away every single sin that you had. He was the propitiation. He took your place for sin. It satisfied the wrath of God, allowing you to have a perfect relationship with the creator of the universe. Are we done? No, there's way more truth. What's truth? Standards, principles, and values of God. Those are what we're supposed to bring out in fellowship. Those are what we're supposed to bring to each other. That is the importance of sitting in a church pew. That is the importance of studying your Bible with one another. That is the importance of prayer together. That is the importance of a church body itself, is to be able to build up each other in those standards, principles, and values of the kingdom of God that is here on earth that Jesus said in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. You don't know what the principles, standards, and values of God are, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Those are his kingdom values for this world that we live in today. I want to know who Jesus is. I better figure out what he says, what he lives by, what his beliefs are, right? I mean, that's what we do in any relationship. I need to know. I wouldn't have married my wife if I wouldn't have known what her standards, her values, and her principles were. How can I enter into a real relationship, not just say, okay, Jesus, you're good enough there, my salvation's clear, I'm good, but if I want a true relationship to be able to walk in this light like I'm called to do, I need to know who you are. I need a relationship with you. Well, that's why God created us. It was for a relationship purpose. So he says, here you go. I'll give you all the information to know who I am. So what is truth? Colossians 1:13, he has delivered or rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. That's truth. So all of the darkness that we fall back into, all of the sin nature that we fall back into, as we've just learned this morning from Joel, we're still rescued from that. We don't have to be held captive to that darkness, that slavery anymore. We have the opportunity to remove ourselves from that situation because of the blood that Jesus shed on the cross. He rescued us from that sin. It's our choice. We keep going back. We go back and we go back and we go back, but we can also go back to him and back to him and back to him as many times as we need to clean ourselves up, to be able to walk into this light that he calls us to walk into. So he's delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. How? We were made a new creation, right? John 3:16, we all know it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. There's nothing on this earth that I know of that doesn't perish and has eternal life. Therefore, if we have that, we're a new creation. We're new. So we get to experience this. This we are made new. 2 Corinthians 5:17 through 20 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that is, in Christ. God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them." So it doesn't matter who you are or what you did. "And he's entrusting us to take this message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. God making his appeal through us, we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God." We have a message to take to people. That's fellowship. We have a message of reconciliation. Doug talked yesterday about fertilizer in plants. The healthier the plant is, the more nutrients you give it, it doesn't get disease. A plant has one purpose in its life: to reproduce. It's going to make a seed. That's it. That's a sole purpose in life, to do it. The seed that it produces will be determined by how healthy that plant is its entire life. The seed that we have to be able to give to people, see, we don't genetically make the seed, or we don't come up with the seed. Like, I think, obviously, we're farmers, we think of corn plants, right? Okay, the seed, when it gets planted into the ground, the farmer did not produce that seed. Didn't make it. It's just like the parables, the seed and the sower. They didn't make the seed, he just was told to do something with the seed. You and I have a seed that is perfectly pure. The germ is good. Because sometimes when we plant, we get crap seeds and they don't grow. Bad germ. Well, this seed that we have has no bad germ. Its purity is there. It's 100% germ. We're told to put it into the ground. That seed then grows into a plant. What that plant does then, the healthier it can be, the more nutritional value that we can give it, the more disease we can keep off of it, the more weed pressure we can keep off of it. Because remember, that plant goes, I don't care what I'm doing. I just need to live and reproduce. I just need to make more seeds. I don't care how I do it. I just need to make more seeds. So if we have this seed, the more fertilizer, the more nutrients, the more herbicides we put out there to get away from the weeds, to keep the dark weeds coming, because we don't want to shade the canopy over that plant with weeds, do we? Because if that plant gets shaded out, we can't get photosynthesis. Well, all of a sudden we can't get light to that plant. That plant will not be able to live. So we got to keep the weeds away from it. Well, what happens with the weeds? A lot of times the weeds steal and they rob our nutrients and our fertilizers that we put out there. So if we're putting all this nutrients and fertilizer out there, here we also got these weeds that are sucking all that stuff up that we're paying money to put out there. But all we're doing is making our weeds grow better. So we need to be able to spray our weeds off, to control it. Because my plant, when it grows, do I want an ear of corn like this in comparison to this? What has more seeds? Duh. This one does. That's us. We are called to be able to take this message of reconciliation to the world, to all the people. We have to have as many seeds as we can possibly have. Can God do it with this? Of course he can. He's God. Will you be more effective with this? Sure you will. There's more seeds. Of course you'll be more effective. So that's fellowship. That's bringing this encouragement and this edification and this purifying up with each other to be able to say, I'm going to help encourage you so I can help you kill some weeds in your life. Because the weeds in your life right now are overshadowing you. And what's going to happen then? The plant's smart enough to know that it will do whatever it needs to do to feed this ear, meaning it'll cannibalize its own stock. It'll kill itself. It'll say, I can't get nutrients anywhere else, so I will take them from myself, and in turn killing myself. Then what happens is my plant just falls over because it can't stand up because it don't have a strong stock. So it just falls over. prematurely? Maybe. And if not, what a waste of all these seeds, all in one spot. I don't have my seeds scattered throughout. They're stuck. To be then get, when we come and we do field work, it just gets buried in the ground. What a waste. And God's going to say, what an opportunity I gave you. I gave you everything necessary to scatter my seeds of truth, of reconciliation, because that's what the world needs. The world is dark. You know it's dark because you live in darkness at times. You're not special. All of us live in dark sometimes. The world needs our light. Not ours personally, but it needs the light that we represent of Jesus. That's what this life needs. That's what this world needs. That's what your life needs. That's what the people in your life need. They need to be able to say, what is different there? Why do you drive 1,800 miles across the country? Why do you sit on a park bench and get called a homeless guy? I know. I couldn't help it. Because look at the seeds that was able to be scattered by sitting in an Adirondack chair at the park yesterday. Seeds that weren't scattered here, God brought from clear out in Washington 1,800 miles to be scattered. Is it up to me what God does with those seeds? Absolutely not. I don't know what he's going to do with them. But I know he's God. And I know that his will is for every man to pick up that seed and to be able to plant that seed in their soul. That's done. Who knows what will happen now? We can't think too hard about, God, you can't use me. God, you can't let me do this. God, I'm not good enough for this. All those doubts and fears that we believe, those lies that we believe. The thing about a lie is we believe, if we believe the lie enough, we become the lie. That's the truth. We just took a lie and made it a truth in our own life. Therefore, now we are that. And the enemy goes, perfect. Gotcha. Right where I want you. Not scattering any seeds. Reconciliation is the message of truth we are to bring. It's a message of freedom. I think we'll stop. We have communion. We could keep going, but we have communion, and I know there's kids that they're controlling downstairs and out and about, so we kind of got to stay on a time frame. We're going to have Doug do communion today. So communion is also part of fellowship with a body, fellowship with the church. So take advantage of this today, as this is what we're going to do when we're in eternity, that we get to share meals together, we get to sit down, we get to enjoy each other's company. You get to do that today with people from all over this nation. So we get to take communion together, which is identifying who we are, the blood of Jesus, with our brothers and sisters throughout this country today. So we'll have Doug come up. Doug's going to say a few things about communion, and then we'll observe it.